Hey guys, and welcome to episode 12 of Small Talk Wits of the podcast. I have a real superhero with me today. Her name is Sasha Benz. Just to give her a little introduction, she's the creative director of The Surf Lodge. She's the owner of the fashion blog and online magazine, All My Friends Are Models. And then she's the creator of the digital business card app, Sync, which we're going to get more into. But hi, Sasha.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, really good.
Tell us about your weekend. You had a pretty wild weekend.
It wasn't just a weekend. It felt like 14 days straight of nonstop socializing, partying, organizing, and little sleep. And that was a combination of my kids and work.
Yeah. Like I said, she's a superhero and we're going to talk about it. But this weekend, particularly at the Surf Lodge, before we started, you said it was like one of the best ones yet.
It was, we had like three of what I would call like real headliner artists, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah.
4th of July also fit, you know, in the middle of the week. It sat in the middle, so people partied like from last weekend all the way through. I think I had like one night off and I still had to go to a dinner, but the vibe was good.
Yeah.
Everyone, you know, Sundays are always a good night for me, and St. Lucia was last night and the sky turned every color of the rainbow.
Oh my
and
God.
It was super magical. I think I had like an extra drink than I normally do. So things definitely.
You deserved it though. Like well deserved. Yeah.
It was like, you know, the tipping point of the end. So it was good. Yeah.
That's good. And finally, now you have a little bit of a break.
No.
No!
There is no sleep for the week.
Honestly, when I walked in, she literally was like midst of emails just like going.
It's honestly never, it never stops. It's not even, there's just always, I think with what I do, there's always something else to do.
Yeah.
It's not like I clock in a 9 to 5. There's always something. I mean, and also my assistant, Gabby, if you're hearing this, is not here this week. So it's been a little bit.
Yeah, I would imagine. Yeah.
More pressure, and I'm handling a little bit more than I'm used to. So I woke up straight into, you know, a lot of people actually ask me, you know, or they say to me, you know, your job sounds super glamorous and it's amazing. I'm like, I actually spend most of my time on email.
Oh, yeah. I think actually the jobs that they appear to be most glamorous are the ones you're actually like, your lives aren't that glamorous all
it's
the time.
So
yeah.
Much hard work, so much organizing, a lot of calls. So straight to the emails this morning. That was the first thing I had to do.
Totally. We're going to get into that. But so, by the way, we're sitting in her gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous house in Montauk. It's literally stunning. But before we do that, so tell us your background, like where are you from, you know, what do you do now? So
sure. So I'm Australian, Bondi Beach, born and bred.
I couldn't tell.
My accent's a little like shaky at the moment. It's a combination of like parents and being here for, you know, almost like 8 years now. But
yeah,
I was a stylist back in the day. I kind of started doing an internship at a magazine that, you know, back then as well, the word internship, like no one really knew what it meant.
Right.
And my parents thought I was batshit crazy for doing something unpaid. But I started at a magazine that wasn't really, you know, recognized or known. And then it just blew up really quickly. So I was in the right place at the right time, working for the right person.
Was this in Australia?
In Australia. So I kind of worked my way up pretty quickly. And I was assisting one of the best stylists.
Did you go to college or like this was straight after high school?
I was supposed to. I had an amazing, you know, opportunity to go to college. I had great grades, but I kind of knew I didn't want to do that. And the opportunity to intern presented itself. And I was like, I'm just going to see where this goes.
Yeah.
And decided not to go.
Okay. Is that very different from how your parents went about things or?
My parents have always been very supportive of everything I've done.
Yeah.
Even though they'll like to say, you know, you're crazy or don't do that. You know, they'll give their advice, but they'll be like, if you want to do that, like go with your gut.
Yeah.
So they supported me not doing that. They thought maybe I would go back to it in a year, but my mom, you know, she studied and did medicine, did all that, and then ended up like not using any of it. So they understand
that's very
sometimes
common, actually.
Life can take a different path.
Yeah.
So I did this, internship, and then it kind of snowballed from there. I mean, it was obviously very difficult and it was a lot of work, but I became an assistant, then went from assisting into like kind of doing my own shoots.
How did you get that internship? Like who approached you, like went to them or?
No, it was my cousin at the time was working in fashion. She's like, I've heard of a new magazine that's launching and I know that they're looking for people to like work for free. And you know, I know that you might be interested.
So connections,
yeah. My dad was in fashion.
Oh, he was?
Yeah, he had a men's clothing brand. It was so not anything that like interested me. It was like men's suits, but it was still that world.
Yeah.
So I always kind of felt like I had that creative, you know, that side of it built into me.
Totally.
But I started styling and I was doing my own shoots, and then I got a job as the fashion director for an overseas magazine in New Zealand, which is kind of, you know, still close, but I was traveling a little bit for them, and then I went to New York to do Fashion Week for them.
Yeah.
And I remember just saying, this is it.
Okay, you like immediately fell in love.
I immediately knew that that's where I needed to be. Wow, it never happened straight away. I was like, okay, this is the goal. I know that this is, because it was like, once you've been to New York and then you go back to Australia, you're like, what is this? Like,
really? Yeah. Okay, yeah.
I mean, now Australian
It's so funny because like New Yorkers are obsessed with Australia.
Well, Australian fashion has come a long way and it's very much, you know, especially through Instagram and social media, like it's quite at the forefront right now.
Right.
But back then you just felt so far away from everything and it felt like you were not part of it once you went back, you know, across the ocean. I figured out that...
So when did you move to New York?
It was almost 9 years ago. I was still with Ollie at the time.
Mm-hmm.
We had a dog together. Like, mm-hmm. life was great and perfect. And
Who's Ollie?
Ollie is my husband.
Mm-hmm. Is that like an Australian name?
Oliver? No, I think... I mean, his mom's English.
Okay. Maybe it's English. Oliver. Like,
so he... We'd been together for about 4 years at that point.
Okay.
And I kind of said to him, I was like, you know, I'm going to New York with or without you. And he was like, okay, let's, you know, give it a shot. See if there's, you know, space for us there, kind of.
Yeah.
And I moved there. I was there for about a year before I kind of dragged his sorry ass back over. But I needed to know that I needed to know that, like, you know, we were going to be able to, you know, find ourselves there. And I came with nothing.
Yeah.
Like, no job opportunity, no, visa, nowhere to live, like nothing.
Yeah.
I stayed on a friend's couch for, pretty much the first month.
Wow.
So
you like literally started like from the ground up.
Yeah.
Like,
and
yeah.
when I had left Australia, I had been at Harper's and I was doing stuff at Vogue,
mm-hmm.
and I got here and I was like, oh, I'll be fine. Like, you know, those are very recognizable names. And I remember like a month worth of like no email responses, no interviews. I was like, from being like, you know, the big fish in a small pond, I was like a guppy.
I think you weren't scared to come to New York, but I think once you got here, I think it really hit you shit, this is harder than I thought.
It was, I honestly, I was like sitting and like emailing and going on all the job sites. I realized very quickly that in New York, it was very much not about how good you were at what you did, but
mm-hmm.
who you knew.
Right.
You know, these people get a million people applying all the time, but unless they're like, hey, my friend is this, you know, and you're connected that way.
And New York is very small. Like, everyone knows everyone, so.
I learned that the hard way. I actually, the first time, I just kind of was like, you know what, I'm just done with all this, and I'm just going to enjoy being in New York, thinking like maybe I'd have to go home or whatever it was.
Right.
And it was the second I kind of let my guard down and actually went out and was like social and went out with people.
Yeah.
I met someone who knew someone and they're like, oh, and you want to do this? And about a day later, I was assisting on a shoot for VS Magazine. And about a week later, she offered me the position to be the fashion coordinator.
Wow.
So, and that's big.
You have quite a resume. You've had a few.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, so I kind of went into that and it was, that for me was like the next step.
And also, you know, what, just
the first photo shoot was like Paris Hilton was on the cover, and then Sky Ferreira, and then there was just, you know, it was basically just like Celebrityville, you know, from there, and that was definitely how I got my first break in New York.
Yeah, and I always say like New York, like networking's the best networking's done is night partying, like, you know. It's just, I feel like it's not the normal way to network, I guess.
I remember speaking to someone, I was like, how do you go through your applications that you receive online? She's like, we don't even look through them. I was like, oh, well, there goes a month of my life of doing that to every company in New York.
It's so true, though. Yeah. It's about, I know this really dope girl, and she's got this really creative mindset, and I want to bring her on. And like, that's kind of how it works.
Yeah, the power of kind of, you know, connections.
Totally. Okay, so I actually was going to talk about this later, but I kind of want to do it now. So how did you meet Ollie? Just because we brought him up.
It was through common friends. So he's from like what I would call the equivalent of Montauk in Australia. It's a small town.
Where are you from in Australia?
Sydney. So yeah.
Oh my god, this is literally perfect.
So I'm from Sydney, which is like the big city, and Ollie's from Noosa, which is small surf town up the coast. I mean, a lot of people don't know Noosa, but if they do know Byron Bay, it's right by Byron.
Yeah.
And it's an amazing, amazing place to grow up. And it's really,
and you guys like, just had like mutual friends.
We had mutual, he came to Bondi and he was like this hot guy on the scene. And I kind of just like zoned in and I was like, you're mine.
Yeah.
So, that was almost like 12.
And she gets what she wants, guys.
Exactly.
So. Yes.
He didn't really have much of a say.
I fucking love that. Okay, so I guess like into the fashion world, then you kind of, when you're, I guess, is it a blog and a magazine? Like, what do you call it? Is it both?
All my friends are models. So it's a magazine, online magazine, because it's different articles. It's published by you know, it's published by us, but it's a combination of events and photo shoots and different models writing for us. And
so did you start this while you were, I don't know what position you were at the time, but
so
you were
it was just, I was freelancing at that point.
Okay.
I got an agent and I was just doing different jobs and all that. Yeah. And then it was around the time of my wedding that I actually came up with the concept.
Okay.
So we were doing the seating chart actually for my wedding. And I remember thinking there was like a couple of like the just, I was like, oh, this model can't sit next to this one or whatever it was.
Wow.
And then I like was like, oh my God. And there was a ton of models.
Yeah.
And I was like, I literally said to Ollie, I was like, oh my God, all my friends are models. Like this is what I was noticing.
That's hysterical.
And the concept just like evolved in my head. And I was like, you know, it's funny because a lot of people used to say to me, like, how are you friends with all these models? It must be make you feel so insecure and, you know, you must feel so overwhelmed. Like, they're all so gorgeous and have the most amazing lives. And I was like, hell no. Like, I'm friends with these girls. I know what they go through. I know that they struggle with, you know, eating disorders and insecurities and work is tough. And Ollie's a model as well. So I've seen, you know, and I thought about it and I was like, it's actually interesting to show that side because no one really shows the side of the models that people don't see, and as a friend you do see. So it's kind of like, you know, breaking down the stereotype of what models are. And I came up with the concept and it happened, you know, it blew up really quickly. And that was
what kind of content were you putting out?
It was like, you know, articles that was like the headline would be like flat broke but famous.
Okay.
You know, things like that. Where people are like, she's like, I'm at these dinners and I couldn't afford my cab home and I'm wearing couture and you know,
typical like New York shit. Yeah, totally. And then I just like read you also did something that's not recently, this was a year ago. You did this surf ball. Yeah.
So the way that we launched All My Friends and Models was I kind of thought to myself, I'm like, you know, I can just launch it online or I can do something that's gonna get attention really quickly, and I think that's the best way to get people to recognize you or recognize a new venture. So I came up with this concept. I was actually doing it with my brother at the time, called Dining in the Spotlight.
Okay.
And the whole idea was that I came up with this, like, it was kind of like a round table thing where you had all these models with massive influence around a table dressed up to the nines and like a staged dinner photo shoot, and we could talk about real things and how they can use their power of influence to better, you know, situations.
Yeah.
And so we did this Dining in the Spotlight where they were all dressed up and we took photos of them, and they, you know, they were all posting on Instagram, and that's how we kind of got
recognized. That's honestly the best way to get anything out, is just by like having events where people can talk about it, post about it, and get some kind of conversation going.
And overnight, like, it was headlines. We had these, you know, it was headlines in the papers because there was like all the girls. It was around Fashion Week as well.
Yeah.
So Surf Ball was an extension of that.
Yeah.
So every year we do it, like, we did like 3 Dining in the Spotlights, and then we kind of transformed it to Surf Ball because we did it at Surf Lodge, and it was the same thing where it was like this glamorous, get dressed up, bring people to a big event and talk about things that are relevant and use our power to either raise money or to, you know, raise awareness.
And I feel like that's also one of the reasons why you got so successful so quick, is because you just weren't just another, like, it wasn't like a superficial online magazine that was talking about like how to do your nails or whatever. Like, you actually were talking about like real life shit
and that people
could relate to in a fun way.
Exactly.
So,
and the articles are really deep and they're written by people like, you know, that are going through these experiences. So it's not just like one blogger trying to understand a different world. It's a lot of opinions that come through it.
Because so many magazines, all they show you is like the polished version of like, you know, that model's like life, the perfect photo. But you're like, let's go behind that photo.
But it's funny because when I talk to people or I mention it or I tell someone my email or whatever it is, they're automatically, their reaction is like, oh, like they think it's like a little bit like, I guess like presumptuous or like stuck up or something, or like sometimes be like, oh, can I work for you? I'm like, you don't even know what it's about. Like,
it's presumptuous to
like they just think like when they hear All My Friends are Models, they're like, oh, like kind of like an eye roll situation.
I see.
Like they think like I'm being like arrogant or something. I'm like, no, it's got some heart to it.
No, I was reading and I loved what you said. And you did an interview. You're talking just about like, you know, body image and mental health and how, and we were saying before, like all these models.
Yeah.
You know?
Or like a lot of the girls that like, you know, have babies and they deal with being like a model and a mom and the body changes and all these different things.
I mean, you're making a living by people like critiquing you and telling you like, no, like you got to drop. Like, I mean, I don't know how, I give them so much credit. I don't know how, because
it's a tough job.
Look, even stir myself.
I think when you get to like the top of your game and there's like a top 10 models that are living like this great life.
Yeah.
I guarantee you that's the side that everyone thinks everyone goes through, but there's like gaps in paychecks. agencies, writing girls, like long casting calls.
We can't all be a Kendall Jenner and Bella Hadid. Right, like we can't all be that. Yeah.
That's like the top percent of, you know, no.
And also no shade to them, but like those girls come from money. Like, you know, Yeah, totally. Okay, so then I guess we're gonna, this is how Surf Lodge recognized you from this online.
A combination of that and I have to give credit to Ollie. So we were in New York for about, it must have been like 2 or 3 years, and at that point he was like going stir crazy. He's like, I've got to find surf.
Yeah.
He's a surfer, and he's like, I need to be near the beach. And one weekend he's like, I've heard that there's this epic Point Break like 3 hours east. I was like, okay. And we just kind of followed the waves and landed up in Montauk.
That's amazing.
And he automatically fell in love with this place. It was very much like home for him.
How long ago was this?
It must have been like maybe 6 or 7 years ago.
Was it what it is today?
Yes and no.
Okay.
So it was still, it was busy. I remember like we tried to get a hotel. We couldn't find a hotel that night. And it was like, we finally found like a motel and paid like $250 a night. And it was like disgusting. It was terrible. But we realized very quickly that like we wanted to come here more frequently. And we started doing trips with friends. But I remember on that weekend, like that night, we were like, let's go out tonight. Or let's figure out and ask someone where to go. And they're like, you should go to this place called Surf Lodge. And we're like, cool. Kind of like casually walked there. There was like a line and we couldn't get in. And
I read that he said like, we're so hot and we just like, why are we not getting in?
So we, I mean, that was my first, and we kind of just like really like shrugged it off and just obviously went somewhere else. But
okay, what is the Surf Lodge, by the way? Like for those that don't know, which everyone should know.
I hate when people ask me this question because it's so hard to
I feel like everyone
have to experience it. So yeah. I can put it into words, but it's a combination. It's like this it's this amazing space that has a combination of world-class artists performing. It's on a lake. You watch the sun set in front of you. The drinks are flowing. There's beautiful models and celebrities and everyone to the left and right of you. But it's much like, it's just got this energy about it.
Right.
It's kind of like very casual, barefoot, feet in the sand, but still, you know,
like you said, like it is hard to get in. You know, there are celebrities partying there all the time. I mean, Jonathan Cheban, there was there last night, and I mean, all these major celebs, but, there's also a culture that's there. I feel like it has its own like culture.
It's great music, great food, great people. There's a lot of amazing creative energy that goes through there, like artists and like I guess like, you know, beautiful minds.
You said Jaden Smith perform recently.
Yeah. He was there like 2 weeks ago. Patti Smith, Willie Nelson.
Was Jon Bon Jovi there?
He was. There's, I mean, you name it, like if people want to perform there, like that, you know, Rita Ora, like it's
Okay. So you said it wasn't exactly what it is now. Now, are you the one doing the outreach to get these people, or is it just word of mouth? Like, yo, you got to get him to perform at Surf Lodge.
It's like a combination of both. A lot of people come to us, and we reach out, and there's a massive amount of curation that goes through what we do there. So, I mean, as I was saying, like the Ollie, basically a year after we came to Surf Lodge, he reached out to them and started DJing for them because, you know, as he does, he just kind of connects with people really well, and people fall in love with him quite quickly. And he started DJing there almost once a week. And I actually wasn't coming out with him that frequently. I was so busy with work and all that.
Yeah.
But he was DJing there for about a year, and I kind of connected with the team, you know, and we had planned at that point, we decided, you know, we wanted to go to LA. We liked the idea of doing 6 months in New York there and 6 months in LA. So we were packed up, ready to go to LA. And the owner said, I want to have a glass of wine with you guys before you leave. Like, I want to say goodbye and whatever. And we went to Soho House, had a glass of wine. And I remember her sitting there. She's like, you're not going to LA. You're coming to Montauk. And I was like, what are you? And I was like, okay. She offered me the job. And like, you know, it was I was kind of like struck at that point because I knew what an amazing opportunity it was. But I actually really didn't understand how incredible and how life-changing it was going to be.
I mean, like, the amount of connections I feel like you've made through it, and, I mean, people you've met, and also just being out in Montauk, man. I mean, people that don't come out here often, it's, like, the greatest escape from the city in the world. It's, like, its own little world on its own. I mean, it's incredible.
I might just check to see.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, guys, if you hear a baby crying, she has two beautiful little babies, which we'll get into.
I might have to feed her while we do this.
Yeah. We can want to stop real quick?
I mean, I can do it while she's feeding.
Here, wait. We'll pause real quick. All right, we're back. She's breastfeeding now, and this is your little girl. Wait, so her name, Baby?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Where'd that name come from?
I watched Dirty Dancing a million years ago and decided at that point that my little girl's name was going to be Baby.
But the spelling is different, though, no?
Well, I did it. You know, I did it
because... You wanted to make it cool.
I wanted it to be different, but also not people think that, like, you know, it's just, like, her name and then something else.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
saying,
yeah.
Like, you know... That's my son, something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I read an article confused me, but no, baby girl. Literally, guys, I wish I could show a picture. I kid you not, this is one of the cutest babies I've ever seen.
She's,
I mean,
really
seriously
sweet.
Stunning, but also her parents are drop-dead gorgeous, so that makes sense. No, but also 12, guys, and also 12 weeks. She's only 12 weeks old.
Yeah, she's fresh.
Oh my God, and you look amazing.
She's, it's actually funny, the second time, like, this, so she's number two, but...
Yeah.
It was a lot easier this time. Everyone's like, oh, yeah. When you have your second baby, it's crazy and chaos. And I think I was doing more this time work-wise, but for some reason, it's easier. You know, you're a little more prepared.
Yeah. I kind of love that you're breastfeeding right now, because this is one of the reasons why I was attracted to interviewing you in the first place, because I said, like, wow, like, she's doing all of this, and she's, like, a mom and a wife, and she's just a badass, like, bitch. Like,
it's,
I don't know. Yeah.
It's a delicate balance.
Yeah, and I'm sure. which we're gonna get into that. But so back to the Surf Lodge real quick. So I mean, again, it was like the best job ever, and you came out here and
the first year for me was like the most challenging, obviously.
Okay.
Because I was really trying to prove myself. I wanted to make some really big changes, mm-hmm. and bring
Did
in
they just
things.
Give you creative control, or like they kind of told you what they wanted?
Well, so the owner, Jema, and mm-hmm. she is probably someone that you need to look into, because she's a badass too. She's, I mean, I've learned more of working for her than any person I have in my life. She's amazing, and she's a mom too. And she was one of those people where she's very hands-on with everything, but if she trusts you and you're part of her team, like, mm-hmm. she kind of, you know, everything needs to go through her, but she's like, I want you to run with this.
Yeah.
And I did.
Yeah.
And that, it was really fun to do. And obviously, you know, at first, like, the Surf Lodge, a lot comes to you straight away, because mm-hmm. everyone wants a piece of it.
Right.
But I had to really be smart about who I brought in and who I reached out to and how we did certain, you know, certain projects. But it was, it's been a very interesting ride.
Yeah. And your plan is to keep on going with it?
Hell yeah.
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 Totally.
I mean, we bought our house in November, so mm-hmm. we're not going anywhere.
Yeah.
This, I mean, even just Montauk in general is just an amazing place to be and to bring up kids, and we're here like most of the year anyway, so we plan to
I was actually gonna transition to family. So you have your baby girl Baby, and then Rhythm, which is such a dope name. How did that come about?
We really wrestled with our names with mm-hmm. him, and we were in LA at the time, and we met a girl and her name was Rhyme.
Oh, okay.
And I was like, how do I translate this to a boy's name, and we wanted it to be something about music, and we literally like both like had this like aha moment. I'm like, oh my God, Rhythm. And it was at the time I was like petrified to actually use it, but I couldn't think of anything else.
No, like, I think it's amazing.
Everyone really freaked out when we first, they were like, oh my God, I've never heard of that. I've never heard anyone by that name.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like, he couldn't be called anything else.
No, when I read it, I was like, wait, that's like really cool. Like Rhythm. Do you have a nickname for him?
Yeah, it went to Riddy.
Riddy. Okay.
Yeah, I don't know why I got there, but I guess that's our nickname.
Super cute. And you guys are like a musical family. I mean, you kind of are in the music business somewhat mm-hmm. with Surf Lodge. And then also your husband is, I think I read he's into music as well.
Yeah. So he likes to call himself a sound stylist.
Okay.
But he's a DJ and he produces and he writes.
Yeah.
And he's come up with his own term for it.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Sorry, she's a little like...
Oh, no, she's good. It
kind of sounds like a little pig.
She's the cutest.
Okay,
we're back, guys. So I guess back with the name. So Rhythm obviously came from your husband with music. Well, it just was a cool name in general. And
yeah,
so.
It's... I don't think I could think of anything else. Like, now I think about it, I'm like, I don't know what we'll do without the child when we have it or her or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we're just going to have to go with something really, like, totally far left. Like Joe or John or something.
What's it like? Oh, my God. You can't do that. You can't.
Everyone's like, what's the next one going to be? I'm like, oh, that's a lot of pressure.
Oh, my God. Wait, so what's it like being a mom now of two as opposed to one? Is it, like, totally different? Or
no. I love it. I think that it's obviously very challenging mm-hmm. and... you start to figure out that you have to sacrifice a lot of like your own personal time.
Yeah.
I think that because like I've seen Rhythm at this age, like he just every, moms used to say this to me and they're like, it only gets better. I'm like, oh, that sounds so cliche and so
funny.
But it really does. Like, once you think, like, you're like, oh my God, he couldn't get better and this is so much fun and I love this age.
Yeah.
Something else happens, or he starts to talk or walk or say mommy, and like your heart like breaks in a million pieces. Like, yeah. Everything. And with, when you have your second, you're like set up to know what's coming next.
Mm-hmm.
So, I love the idea, and I love the idea of a growing family and lots of people in the house.
And you've always wanted that.
I came from a family of three.
Mm-hmm.
So,
same.
Yeah, for me, it's like that or more.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to, you know.
Yeah. Although I feel like super Australian, right? I mean, my name's Sydney. We have an Australian here. You're drinking like Blue Sterling coffee. I mean, like, it's so good.
There's a lot of Australian influence in Montauk for some reason.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. Yeah. It's because they're looking for the waves. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. I guess, like, also, what's your advice for people that, you know, people who want to be moms, who like maybe say, oh, but I have to focus on my career first? Because I feel like that's something people say a lot.
You have to, I mean, I'm like a complete perfectionist. I like to do things like 110% at mm-hmm. everything I do. You have to just suddenly realize that you're going to have to make some compromises.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you know, that was the hardest thing for me, was I was working so hard and I was like, I felt like I was either going to be doing my job bad or being a bad mom, you know, mm-hmm. like I couldn't do both. And that's what I really used to wrestle with. And then you just realize you have to find a good balance and know what not to stress and when to be present.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you're with your kids, be with your kids.
Right.
If you're working, be focused on work. Don't be worrying about the other things that you're missing.
And you think it's important to take time for yourself?
I
feel like also your work. I mean,
really,
like,
I don't take a lot of time for myself, and mm-hmm. that is probably the one thing that I need to work on more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I always think about it. I'm like, I'll do that once we're rolling in it and we've got like a full-time help and all that.
Yeah.
That's when I'll go and get a nice manicure. And don't look at my nails when I say that, because it's really bad.
Do you like my color? Come on.
I haven't had a manicure in like 3 years.
Yeah, no, I don't. I don't.
Time wasted.
No, totally. Also, let's just talk about your house real quick. So you said you bought this recently?
In November.
November. Okay, pretty recent. What was like the goal for your house?
So Ollie and I have been looking to buy a house for about 8 years. Mm-hmm. I kid you not.
Is this your first house?
Yeah.
Okay.
We haven't been able to afford like anything close to that.
Yeah.
Up until last year, we kind of like, we had a really good year, and I was like, and that for me was actually, you know, I look back at it and I remember last year I had this moment where like I cried on my way to work one day because I took on too much jobs and my nanny at the time was like, you can't go see Rhythm because he gets so upset when you see him for a minute and then leave. So I kind of like left the house and ran to work, and I just remember crying my eyes out, being like, I can't believe I just didn't get a chance to say,
right,
good morning to my son because I'm so busy at work and it's just better for everyone. And it felt really like gut-wrenching.
Oh, yeah.
And I remember thinking, I'm never going to do that again. And it was too much work and I was working like the craziest hours. But then at the end of summer, I'm like, well, now we can buy a house.
Yeah.
So, you know, you have to figure out like sometimes, you know, the hardships actually pay off quite well.
Totally.
So we've been looking for years. And then at that point, I'm like, okay, we need to like really look. Like, we were renting for 3 years. And
were you in the city or you were here?
We were here. We were, okay. We were always... we rented a friend's place for the last 3 years.
Yeah.
And you spend a lot of money on rentals here, but because the work was so good, it made sense. And after a while, I'm like, I'm paying off someone else's mortgage. Like, we have to buy a house.
Yeah.
So a friend of ours who was a real estate agent was like, great, let's go find some houses. Mm-hmm. He literally showed us 3 houses, and this was the third. And I was like, that's it.
Yeah.
And we put in an offer, and they accepted it, like, almost, like, 3 days later.
Wow.
And it was, like, go time. I was like, oh, shit, we're about to adult. Like, this is happening.
This is crazy. No, you are. I mean, like, you're entering, like, that next phase of your life now. Right. It's, like, really exciting.
So we it takes a while for the whole contract and everything to go through. And during that time, because I knew that we were going to Australia on, like, the 10th of December.
Okay.
We got the keys, like, that entire month while the plans were going through. I was literally mentally teeing up, like, the whole renovation. So we had the keys like on the
So this is you this is new this is all you.
I should show you photos of what this house looked like when we got it.
Okay.
Like, insane.
Wow.
The changes we made. And it was like we did a lot, but we did it all very quickly. I got the keys that morning, and that night there was guys coming in knocking out walls.
Yeah.
I was like, no time to waste. And I was like pregnant at the time, so I was kind of like a little Nazi about the whole situation.
Yeah.
And we did about like 6 weeks worth of renovation.
Mm-hmm.
Went to Australia for 3 months. Like, put a hard stop on it. I'm like, if we don't stop, like, we're going to go into a financial hole.
Yeah.
Because I was just like, keep going. And Ollie's like, I don't know what's going on. Like, this is insane. I remember saying to him, I'm like, I just want to paint. Like, that's all I want to do.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, okay, that's fine. Like, we can just paint. And the next thing you know, like, the carpets are being ripped out. The walls are being, like, everything.
Yeah. Exactly. That's how it always starts. Like, let's just do, like, this one little thing.
Yeah.
Let's
it was, like, literally, like, unraveling a
sweater.
The
whole bathroom.
The whole thing just came apart.
Yeah.
So we kind of did a hard stop, went to Australia for 3 months, came back, and then we had like a month till I was going to give birth and did all the final touches, and we're still like only like 50% through it all.
Yeah.
There was a lot that we still need to do, but, Ollie suddenly turned like from dad to full blown handyman and like built almost everything that you see.
Yeah. I read that. I mean, like, he did, he painted the wood and everything, and
he put these stair treads in. He built the fireplace.
Did he have experience?
Poured the concrete. No, I mean.
Oh my God.
His dad was pretty handy.
Yeah.
But he just kind of like looked things up. We had a friend that we brought out from Australia, his best friend.
Yeah.
Who was a carpenter, and he kind of like guided him. And
yeah.
They just like did it together, or YouTubed how to pour this. And
this is like, it looks like literally like a Restoration Hardware magazine cover. It's insane. I guess I'm trying to describe your style. It's like, it's clean, it's earthy,
it's very like, so for me, like, I tried to give a combination of like Tulum meets Mykonos meets Byron Bay.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit more casual, but very light considering we have kids.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's a little
yeah.
risky, but I'm
those,
sure.
Are those like, those aren't from Surf Lodge, right? No.
The lights?
Yeah.
No,
yeah.
I actually got in Bali. I got a bunch of stuff sent over from Bali.
Dope.
Yeah. Which seemed like a good idea at the time, but then it was a nightmare to ship here. But
yeah,
you know, he figured things out the hard way.
So summer you're here, and then you said you travel the rest of the year? Or?
Yeah, so I try to manipulate all my work so that I'm in summer all year round.
Yeah.
So I'll be like, you know, we basically go until like maybe October here. Mm-hmm. And then in October I'm like, oh, do I need to do this job in the Maldives for 2 weeks? Fine. We'll do that in November, you know,
yeah.
And we're kind of like hopping around. So it'll be a combination of like maybe Miami, Maldives, possibly LA, Bali.
Yeah.
And then we'll be back here. And we spend a lot of time in Australia. We do like a big chunk of the your winter.
Wow. So like, are you renting from places when you do that, or?
No, like if it's longer than a month, we will like find a spot and rent it. But
yeah.
Generally it'll just be like either a hotel or in Australia with my parents. So.
Yeah. That's going to be harder though. Like you have like
with
young
the kids.
Ones. Yeah.
Yeah. I've got the pack down and pack up operation military style.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'll like start packing like a week before, and then
yeah.
I'll like throw things in the day before, and
yeah.
you know, it's one of those.
Yeah,
but
yeah. Yeah.
It's not easy. It's definitely not. That's the one thing that used to really bother me a lot. Everyone used to say, like, when I tell them like I live summer all year round, everyone's like, you're so lucky.
Yeah.
And I'm like luck has got nothing to
do
with
it.
It's
yeah,
like
100%.
Hard planning, hard work, and a lot of, you know, I guess like that nomad lifestyle is not as glam as it feels. It's kind of exhausting.
100%. But eventually though, I don't know though, do you have to settle down or
probably when the kids go to school.
I was
going
to say when they go to school, yeah.
So we have to at some point probably stop or be in one place or figure out homeschooling for some 6 months
mm-hmm.
if we are going to keep traveling. I really like the idea of having like bicultural kids.
Yeah.
Which means going from, you know, living in a bunch of different places.
I mean, you would have to homeschool, I guess, but
yeah.
Yeah,
I think we would be, you know, maybe here for most of the year, and
mm-hmm.
then the other parts, you know, either figure out another 6 months.
Like your kids
else.
Are gonna be like the coolest kids. Like everyone's gonna.
I hope so.
I mean, no, just because they're like been all over the. I mean, you've already traveled a lot. I mean, also, I'm sure while you were dating Ollie before you guys got married, you traveled.
We traveled a lot. We moved around a lot, and some of it was by choice. Some of it was just because we just had to keep moving and figuring out if there was like a better way to make money or do life better. And it took a while, and I think we've now figured it out.
Yeah.
But we're still hustling. Like every day, still, you know.
Yeah.
We work really hard still. There's no end game, I think, right now.
Totally. And as if you don't do enough, let's talk about your newest app that you just launched, Sync. Tell us what it is. And
okay, so at the end of last year, I remember someone saying to me, I think it was in an interview, they're like, you must have the most incredible database of
mm-hmm.
contacts. Like, you meet amazing people, amazing brands, all these, and you must have this, like, crazy contact book. And I was like, you'd think so.
Yeah.
But it's just my phone book in my phone, and it's not really organized, and my emails are a little crazy. And I then went home with my assistant and I was like, okay, let's grab all the business cards that I have from the year. I used to like stack them up and we put them into a database.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent a big email being like, you know, great summer and let's connect again. And, you know, like a recap email. And
right.
50% of them bounced back. And I was like, you know what? That sucks. Like, it's either I changed jobs or I'm not here anymore or it was just the wrong thing.
Yeah.
And I thought about it and I was like, that's insane that, like, you know, these are people that could potentially change your career path or you could have a relationship or do big things with, and meeting people are very important.
Yeah.
And you should never lose a contact.
Totally.
And I thought to myself, there's got to be a better system to how you meet people and save people's information. You know, you put their details in your phone at this point, you know, the iOS option.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll put someone's name. I'll say maybe their phone number, maybe their email, whatever. But if it changes, there's no control over it. So I thought about this concept of an app that basically is this current up-to-date card, like a digital business card.
Yeah.
So if you fill out your card and someone else has it, when you change your email, they see it. If you change your number, they see it. Like everything is kind of up-to-date. And I basically met with a friend of mine who was, I've known him for years and he's very, he's one of the most intelligent people I know and he's very influential investment banker in the city. And I told him the idea and his eyes like lit up. He's like, wow, this is crazy that it hasn't been done. And we're gonna build this.
Yeah.
And a week later, he brought this guy out to Surf Lodge and he's like, here's your app guy. He's going to build this for you.
Yeah.
And he was super excited. And literally overnight, we started building an app, which is so far from anything I've ever done.
Yeah.
But it was, you know, it kind of came naturally.
But you're the type of babe, like, you can do anything you set your mind to.
It was very, like, it was a little daunting because it wasn't just about building an app and, like, being like, I want it to look like this. And it was, like, investment rounds and, you know, like, pitches and decks and all this stuff where I was suddenly in meetings with, like, all these, like, tech-savvy people and I was, like, so out of my league.
Right.
And it was a really amazing amazing experience, you know, doing that first round and getting the money and kind of building a team. And we built the app in about 6 months.
Wow.
And
that's short.
Super short. And
really
it was one
short.
Guy that did it. It was us, you know, we'd talk once a week and go through, you know, have like an hour or two on the phone once a week going through the concept and the core beliefs of the app and what needs to change and what didn't work and the bugs and all that.
Right.
And we launched it like officially. It's live. It's in the app store about 2 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been incredibly well received.
Yeah.
People that have been using it love it. It's very simple. You just put someone's number in, you get the connection and you can introduce people.
No, I think it's an incredible concept. And honestly, like there's so many people I know, but like it's either like their Instagram handle or it's like DM, and it's like sometimes unprofessional.
I don't go to Facebook to call someone.
Right.
It's basically should, you know, right now and the way that I operate is it's at the bottom of my phone, the bottom four, and I can show you active. Like this is all my contacts now and I'm starting to like really build up my, and that's his information. You know, it shows me who introduced us
and
where we met.
And if he changes his information, you'll know about it.
Every time I go to his card, everything in there should be current. I can also introduce him to anyone else and be like, yo, you guys should connect.
I'll link your app in the bio of this.
Yeah,
that's really great.
And you get requests and, you know, the end goal, basically there's also a section for travel dates. So it says my next 5 trips.
Yeah.
And if I am overlapping with someone, it'll show me that I'm overlapping with someone. So I have the ability to be like, yo, we're going to be in Miami at the same time. We should set up a dinner.
Yeah.
So it allows you to kind of manage your connections better and build better relationships with people that you're meeting. So,
That's fucking incredible. And it's so funny you said that because I was actually going to ask you for networking advice. And I mean, you can obviously use this tool right here.
I go into my contacts and I could not clean it up even if you paid me.
Yeah.
I've got like 20 errands and I've got like 6 numbers for Ollie, like just cause we travel. So you can put in, you know, different country number, you know, it's a much better system. And since then we've had a lot of interest from like really big companies that want to onboard their entire community.
I was just going to say, like, that would be great for a company to use for their
like
own.
There's like, I mean, even just like one of my friends who has a massive church, they're like, you know, we would love everyone in our church to connect. And, and there should be this idea about like building communities and people connecting and going to conferences and using this to find everyone that was at the conference.
Do you go to Hillsong?
That's funny that you say that. Ollie does.
Okay.
And one of my very good friends started it. His family started it.
Well, because it started in Australia. I go to Hillsong and like Carl Lentz and everyone.
Carl's good friend. So we know that whole crew. And Ollie is Ollie's very, very much connected there.
And also his wife is Australian, so Laura.
Laura's Australian, and Joel and Esther, his parents were the ones that started.
Such a small world.
They were
that's
actually
so crazy.
Here a week ago.
At wow. the house.
So Joel's the lead singer in United.
Yeah.
So that, you know, for him, he's like, it's crazy. We do all these conferences and things, and there's no way for people to like exchange their information.
Right.
So that's kind of the next goal. And, you know, technology wise, I guess, the aim of the game is to like eventually not even have to take your phone out your pocket. So at the end of this meeting, you'll see something on your app, on the app, see, mm-hmm. and it'll be like, you know, you guys were in the same room. You should add each other. Like, basically taking your phone out and asking for someone's information is awkward.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the direction we're heading is just like removing the awkwardness of exchanging details and making it really streamlined and simple.
Totally.
Kind of.
Fucking love it.
Yeah.
You're a genius. And also, I guess, like, in person, and the app is fantastic, but I guess, like, in person, like, or actually, no, I guess online, do you think it's important to, like, build a presence online in today's age, like, building your own personal brand, or...
Yeah. Everything's going digital these days.
Yeah.
100%. I think it's very important. But it really depends what industry you're in.
Mm-hmm.
That being said, like, you know, my dad, I guess, that was like a thing that he always said to me. He's like, oh, I don't need to be online. And now he's like, can you help me build a website? And can you get me an Instagram? And I was like, you know, you're a little late to the game, Dad. But
see, people used to say it depends what industry, but I'm actually writing a thesis paper on it where I think building a personal brand, it can apply to almost any industry. I mean, even if you're a doctor one day, if you want to build your personal brand as a doctor online, that's how you're going to get more clients. Yeah. People will hear about you.
Everything is like basically needs to be accessible under your thumb.
Right. Yeah.
So if you can't.
And there's good and bad about that, but you know.
I mean, even like I have this like rule with like friends of mine. I'm like, if that guy is not on Instagram, that's a red flag. Like you don't want to date that.
Yeah.
So yeah, maybe that's where we're going. And I'm definitely not like the millennial generation.
No, but still also I think it's important to remember, like, still like know how to give a firm handshake and to be able to have eye contact with someone.
Absolutely.
And that goes a really long way, because even with when you're dealing with people who maybe aren't part of the millennial generation, like, they respect those that are like, okay, like, she can actually hold a conversation and she knows what's up.
Exactly.
I mean, you've also worked with some really like cool companies. You did Revolve, ASOS, The Daily Front Row, Harper's Bazaar, you said before. And those connections, how did like those come about? Is it just because people knew who you were?
A combination of that and them wanting to be present at Surf Lodge.
Yeah.
So, you know, they would want to, I guess one of the biggest things that I did at Surf Lodge and I introduced was the idea of a pop-up or a pop-up store, or activating like bringing brands. So
like Cryology, I think, had it there.
Topshop. I mean, we did all these things. So I basically kind of created a space that brands could come in and like do a pop-up shop and do an event and host something in the back. And that was like a really big thing that I think was...
It's super trendy right now too.
Yeah. And back then, 4 years ago, it was still very like, everyone was like, what's a pop-up? Like,
No
one really understood that. And now it's like just it's a term.
Oh, it's all the time. Yeah.
So it was a combination of me reaching out to a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And then the year afterwards, a lot of people came to me, because once we had Revolve there and Topshop, you know, people were like, oh, we should do that. And now it kind of like, it's a lot easier. People come to me. But the first year I was like trying to find anyone who knew anyone at this company and that. And I reached out to a lot of different people to try and set that up.
Totally. And then I guess also just like being in, I mean, you've done this for a while now, so now you're used to it. But I guess in the beginning, like, did you feel a pressure to keep up, or not even that? Like, I just feel, I don't know, you're hanging out with a lot of celebrities and, you know, there's a lot of fake people out there. I hate to say, but there are. And so do you find it hard to like sometimes be real, or do you feel you have to kind of put up, you have like your work mode and then, you know, your home mode? I don't know.
No, yes and no. I've never felt the need to try and put on a different face depending on where I'm at. And I think that's a very Australian trait. Like, just be exactly who you are. I'm where I am because I was who I was.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always kind of in like work zone.
Yeah.
So that doesn't really ever switch off for me.
Yeah.
But being relatable, being honest, like approaching people, like everyone is a human.
Yeah.
Every celebrity goes through. And I think that's something that I learned, you know, very young, being in the fashion industry and dealing with models and all that. You realize like everyone's just a person. Everyone goes through the same thing.
Yeah.
Everyone poops. Like,
everyone shits, man.
So, there's always a pressure to work harder and to be more and but I think it's instead of like feeling bad about not being something, it should be inspiring to be more.
Right.
So I think that's a big thing, because I know a lot of, you know, young kids that are always, you know, they find like this Instagram world very depressing, because they see all these people with great lives and they're always traveling and all that. Instead,
and like these perfect bodies, right, and this right, and that.
Exactly.
And none of it's real.
None of it's real, but it's also like, it should just be more like, great, I want to have that life and I'm going to work harder, and it should be more motivational than depressing. And I think it's hard to find that or to channel that, but yeah. You know, if you have good people in your life and
yeah, I love what you said in an interview. You said, like, you know, just having a really strong and reliable support group and people that you can call like 3 a.m. and cry about your day or
exactly,
whatever.
Exactly.
So yeah,
you know, I've figured out through being at Surfloads, a lot of those people are there for very different reasons. They're party people and money people and that.
Yes.
And you've got to know, you've got to be a good judge of character, like who needs to be in your life and who's going to be a good energy and who's going to be a positive source, and finding those people and sticking with them is really important. And I think that,
because I think it's very easy, especially in the beginning if you're young, I think it's easy to get caught up in all of it and to be like, oh, you want to be a part of something that you think you want to be a part of, it, and you actually get to meet them and you're like, no, I don't.
Yeah,
so,
like, you know, yeah. You want people that, like, when you invite them to your kid's birthday party, they show up, as opposed to being like, I want to go to, you know,
right,
something different. So,
yeah.
You know, they need to be people that are, you know, that want to be in your life.
Totally. And then I guess, like, what are your, like, goals for the future? I mean, just to keep, like, you know, get on with, I mean, you already talked about it a little bit, like the kids and kind of,
I just want to, I mean, I you know, world domination. That's
Yeah, that's what it sounds like after this.
No,
yeah.
I want to, you know, I really, obviously sync for me is like a goal. I want to make that, like, I want everyone in the world to have that in their pocket.
Yeah.
And use it and have, and be addicted to it. So that's like a big goal for me. And to just keep growing the family.
Yeah.
Keep being happy. I need to travel more. That's a really big thing for me.
What are some bucket list destinations?
I want to go, I've been to South Africa before, but I want to take Ollie on a safari.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I might need to wait till the kids are a little older. I need to go to India, South America. I'd like to spend a couple of months there.
Yep.
That's a really big one. And I think just, I mean, summer destinations for us. That's the one. I need to do Europe for a year. I need like a good 3 years worth of travel.
Yeah.
With nothing else going on.
Yeah.
To hit everything.
Totally. Totally. And just like fun, like light questions, like for those that don't come out to Montauk, or maybe what are some of your favorite places to eat out here? Or
okay, so Crow's Nest is the best. Mm-hmm. It's such a great restaurant. It's actually the furthest restaurant out east.
Mm-hmm.
Amazing food, beautiful sunsets, really nice vibes.
Yeah.
Surfledge is obviously great. You know,
yeah.
I have to say that.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking.
No, it is good.
The restaurant's amazing there. Bluestone has great coffee and avocado toast.
Yes,
I'm
the best.
I'm a big fan of a good avocado toast. Duryea's is great. It's like Saint-Tropez vibes.
Love it there.
It's great. It's so nice.
And the food is like so fresh. It's so good.
It literally
yeah.
feels like it's come straight from the ocean.
Yeah.
Navy Beach is amazing. Honestly, like there's a ton of really good restaurants.
There's
in
a ton. Yeah.
That's what I think the best thing about this place is that there's more popping up, and they're just, everything here is so fresh and so new, you know, New York meets beat.
All right. We got Ollie here. What was the title you said he gave himself?
Sound stylist.
Okay. So you are sound stylist. Tell us a little bit about that.
I don't know. I
guess. You're like a really chill guy. You're just very like, unless you're really tired right now, and that's the vibe I'm getting.
No.
He's always very chill.
Okay.
It's also like my Sunday would be the Monday, you know, like my chill day is a Monday.
Yeah.
Because the weekends are so hectic.
Yeah.
But sound stylist, yeah. I don't know. DJ's just, I mean, obviously you have to use DJ here and there, but
right.
Sound stylist just sounded a bit more appropriate.
Yeah. Wait, so where are you from? So you're also from Australia. She told me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So I'm from a small town called Noosa Heads in the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah.
And it's very similar to Montauk where we live now.
Right.
You surf every day. You kind of, I mean, there's the school there teaches surfing, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like a curriculum is
yeah,
surfing.
Yeah, totally.
But
is that true?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, wow.
You have like, you can do a double, like, you know how you have like a math class, but sometimes you have double math?
Yeah.
You can have double surfing.
Oh,
like,
my
and
God.
And you go down at lunchtime, and then you spend the rest of the day down the beach.
Australians do everything better. You guys just do everything better.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
amazing. And then so you guys moved to New York when again?
2000 and Sash, do you want when?
I'm terrible at years. I just say like 9 years ago.
9 years.
Well, the reason I said that is because you came to Montauk because you wanted the surf life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I'd always go down to Jersey and find great waves down there.
Yeah.
But the inconsistencies, you know, it's like a little bit different, the swell, how the swell works out here. So here you can, if it says it's flat, you can still surf. Mm-hmm. There's always like a 1 foot, 2 foot fun wave.
Right.
Whereas if you are like on Long Island or mm-hmm. Jersey, you basically have to wait for waves.
Yeah.
You can't just every day go out and get wet.
Oh, wow.
But now I have two kids, so every day I can't really go out and get wet.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. This is true. I feel like you're like setting into like dad life now.
Dad mode. Yeah, Big time.
Damn.
Yeah, half sound.
And you guys are like, you guys are young parents, relatively, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of live a young life. Like, I mean, I'm 31 now.
Mm-hmm.
So like, I guess it sounds old, but for where we are and what we're doing.
No, I think
kind
that's
of young
like,
still, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like a good age.
Yeah.
And so Surf Lodge, you knew about it beforehand, right? Like, you would, like, a friend recommended it, or?
I mean, you kind of hear about it in general, you know, okay. knowing about the concert series or the bands that you mm-hmm. that do play there.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, Surf Lodge was pretty poppin'. I mean, I guess it always has been.
Yeah.
You know, every year they're like, oh, the town's crushing it with all their rules and you know, regulations. It's
right.
Like, you know, they basically play tricks on us, you know,
yeah,
a little
true.
Bit, you know, and then like as soon as the season starts, suddenly there's all these changes, you know, so we just play along. Like we're all trying to be friends, you
so
know.
So your career started modeling or?
Yeah. Okay. As a kid, it was, I actually did dancing and acting. So
yeah.
I was like, well, I was trying to be an actor. Like acting was my passion.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing a lot of classes
mm-hmm.
and doing different like shows and things, stage mm-hmm. shows and commercials
mm-hmm.
between the age of like 12 and 18.
Were you into like movies or like theater or like?
Theater, a lot of theater. I did a couple of theater shows.
Yeah.
And then a couple of commercials and was trying, I actually did book a part in a movie called Blokes.
Yeah.
Which I,
it's the most Australian name ever.
Funny, right? But then it never took, I think they had funding issues. So like
yeah.
right before I was about to shoot my scenes and stuff, it never
yeah.
really went through.
Yeah.
I don't know. It just, acting, it's a lot, it's a tough gig.
It's hard. My dad was trying to be an actor in, you know, the movie The Bronx Tale?
Yeah.
Yeah. So he was in that and he actually had like speaking roles and like they got cut out and by the time he was like 24, like he just felt like, if I'm not making it now, like I gotta change career paths.
Yeah.
So.
What you do is, I mean, my vibe behind it would be, yeah, you have to put all your eggs in one basket and spend all the money, get all the coaching, do the accent coaching, da, 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 da.
Yeah.
And that's probably the way you should do it. Whereas, I don't know, I'm just kind of going to just be there and be ready for my role, you know, like a role that maybe just suits me and that's going to be my foot in the door, you know?
Yeah, totally.
Whether it's a TV series or something that just sort of pops up. Like I'm still doing castings and sending tapes in
and
doing a little bit of accent coaching here and there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tricky spot. Whereas that's why music was very, music never really left me. My dad was a jazz musician.
Okay.
So he never pushed music upon me. It was always just there.
Okay.
So by the time I got to New York, I mean, in Bondi Beach, when I moved out of home, I was in a band for 3 years, 4 years. And that's
mm-hmm.
when music kind of grew. I was playing drums and then bass.
Yeah. So you've been playing music throughout your whole life.
It started in the church.
Yeah.
Yeah, it started
in
the church.
I was telling her I go to Hillsong. So.
Oh, amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's
yeah,
so
yeah,
rad.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah, I wish I was going to Hillsong, but on Sundays I have to work
mm-hmm.
out here.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit of a mission. I actually am trying to get them to come and do a service, Sunday morning services at Surf.
Yeah.
Which they could do.
That would be amazing.
But we need to get John Tremaine to sort that out.
Yeah.
So basically playing in the church, playing guitar and drums and playing a bunch of instruments when like we couldn't find a musician, you know, like sometimes we didn't have a drummer. So I would kind of drum or...
But how did that transition for you now? You're, I guess you don't like the word, but DJ.
Yeah,
so
yeah. Well, no,
DJ. Sound stylist.
Well, like sound stylist is sort of a separate thing. Sound stylist, you know, is more for like a lot of restaurants and things want
mm-hmm.
to get my vibe on music. Or
right.
Sound stylist would be more like an event DJ.
Well, it's like your vibe.
But a DJ, I feel like it's party. Like if it's party time, it's DJ time.
Okay.
But
okay.
if it's like an event, you know, like... I just did the BMW event. That to me is more sound styling.
Got it.
I got you.
No, yeah. Like
difference.
You're like trying to like vibe with the event. And so
as opposed
like,
to, yeah, well,
just like
a party is a party. It's
yeah,
a DJ. So it's
totally.
Just party tunes. Yeah.
What's like your vibe, like DJ style or?
I mean, right now I'm playing in between like hip hop and house stuff. So it's like,
okay.
it's almost like sunset, big banger tunes mixed in with like a lot of hip hop vocals and then disco.
Yeah.
A lot of disco.
That's good. Yeah. Like the old, like some old shit or?
Old.
Yeah.
Super old. And a lot of it gets burnt off vinyls and I get a lot of really cheeky underground tracks from a guy named Mayor Hawthorne's his artist name.
Right.
And he's got some, he always sends me ripping tracks and he's got a wild collection.
That's amazing. Tunes. Also talking about your house, just add to your resume. I mean, she said like you built half of this house, maybe more than that. Like,
well, I mean, it was built, but we renovated. So it was like, Everyone's like, oh, you built your house. But I mean, not really. We had a demo
team. I feel
team
you're not come, getting yourself enough credit.
Yeah. Right? We had a demo team come and gut it. And then I had a friend, Rory Garland, who's a carpenter, artist carpenter. So he's here to do art, his art. But I said, look, we'll bring you over if you can help me do the house and I'll set you up with all the people I know and you can potentially run away with, you know, your art here.
Right.
So he came in, he knows everything, you know, as far as like, you know, what's stable and what we need to reinforce and, you know, like...
Yeah.
Like totally. The legal things, you right, know, right, like right, I'm not right. going to go ripping down a wall
and I
don't really know,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, this is true.
But yeah, we did the concrete countertops, built the fireplace, all the shelvings, redid the bathrooms, the vanities we did, dropped the sink in the vanity. The deck was a big one.
Yeah.
Deck extensions.
Yeah.
When you're doing
and you're kind of like learning as you
72
go.
72 stair treads. Whew, takes a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And how's dad life treating you?
Pretty good.
Did you always imagine yourself as a dad or you're like, I didn't think this would happen?
I mean.
That's the vibe I get from you. You're like, I'm just like, go.
It was always probably going to happen.
Did you have siblings?
Yeah.
You
younger
did.
Brother, Josh.
Okay.
Josh
okay.
Benz.
Yeah.
My brother and I get along great. Our family, we've always got along great. It was a small family though, so we didn't have like cousins and like. So that's why Sasha, the juxtaposition from like how she grew up and how I grew up was so different in a way. You know, like she was like in the city and I was by the beach. She had a big family.
Yeah,
my dad was Swiss and my mum's English.
Yeah,
so it's like.
But you're from Australia.
Yeah. So my mum and dad met in Noosa. He moved from Switzerland and she moved from England and they met like in that little, like, I guess it was a bit of a gypsy town then.
Yeah.
So technically I'm not full blooded Australian, you know, like
first generation. Yeah. We got the accent. So I mean,
the accent's strong.
Yeah. It's real strong.
I don't know. It's hard to explain, but it's different to Melbourne or even Sydney. It's a Sunshine Coast accent.
Hello, my name's Sydney from Sydney, Australia.
Yeah. That's pretty good.
That's all I got.
That was pretty good.
That's all I got.
That was pretty good.
Oh man. And like, I guess what are your like goals for the future? Just keep being a rad dad.
Yeah. My Instagram's my wife's my pimp. So basically,
that's my little thing.
Like she just says what's up and I'll, you know.
I feel like that's like really dope though. It's like, you're like my wife's like, you know, a badass.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
I mean, she's got a lot of goals and she's very driven and I'm also like quite chilled and relaxed. So.
Do you ever feel a certain pressure or?
Yeah.
No?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Even on a Monday morning like today, it's like, we got to get some stuff done.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also like you've got to sometimes chill it out.
I really respect that you're a hands-on dad because I feel like there's definitely been a cultural shift where maybe I don't know what it was like for your parents, but my parents, it was kind of expected that like, or maybe even their parents, that like the dad is like supposed to be like the one that brings in everything and mom and cooks and cleans in the kitchen, you know? So I feel like now it's a fact that like dads are more involved. And I mean, you're playing with your kids. I mean, you know, there was a time where like dads didn't even like, it was like,
didn't even change diapers.
No, it was like unheard of. So
To me, that's crazy.
Yeah.
But then, I mean, if they're 9 to 5 and they go into an office,
yeah.
coming back exhausted, mums are at home. I guess it depends on your situation, but yeah, but I mean, it's just 2018, man.
Like, but you and Sasha are really cool because you guys are like kind of creating your own life. You're not like, I feel like you aren't really following the rules exactly, which I think is like really cool.
Well, and then we're also like taking it to another level. Like I think, so there's a lot of hands on dads, but then there's like, there's a lot of like she's working a lot, I'm working a lot, but we're still both very hands-on.
Yeah.
Like, for instance, like she works at the house, I work at the house. Mm-hmm. We don't really leave the house.
You make
the
it work.
Kids don't really leave the house. Yeah, we like have a lot of help too, which is great. You know,
it's not always easy, but
because I want to go put these sprinklers in the ground right now, but I think I have to strap the baby to my chest.
You also need a good nap right now.
I need a good nap.
You need a really good nap.
Up at 6 a.m. with her, finish DJing at 2.
Damn.
So, you know, there's a small window. of sleep.
When are you DJing again?
My next gig, I think it's Sunday again. Ollie Benz and Friends at the Surf Lodge after the band. I'm not sure.
Ollie Benz and Friends. That's amazing.
So yeah. I bring in a lot of DJs that are friends of mine that I rate their music. I rate their style.
Yeah.
And we try to build the night out.
I just interviewed the other day. Do you know who Isaac Hinden Miller is?
Yes.
Yeah. I just interviewed him. Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah, he's a legend.
That's awesome. He does the same. I actually need to get him out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he needs to come and do a night. I want to get him on like a big band night though. Like we have some really, really rad bands, and then some bands sometimes just show up and don't blow up. Like they just like, well, suddenly they bring just their acoustic equipment and it's like, what? Like, no, we want the band.
Yeah.
You know, so, and or sometimes they just play their sets like as if it's straight from the album. You know, it's like jam, like be a musician, you know,
you're
basically doing what I do, you know, just playing from start to finish. The song's 4 minutes 22. They literally played it 4 minutes to 22. It's like, I don't want to hear that.
Totally.
I want to see you guys together and jam and chemistry. Like that's why your bands like St. Lucia.
Yeah.
They just jam.
Yeah.
You know, or Bob Moses or Gary Clark.
Yeah.
You know, they're really rad.
Totally. Well, guys, this is one of my longest episodes ever. This is crazy. We're like in an hour. I mean...
Well, you've done two people, technically.
I have done two people. This is true. But, I mean, the most badass parents. Like, you guys just, like, make me want to be, like, I don't know. Like, you guys are, like, good looking, like, hands on, like, killing it in the game. Yeah. I mean, just, like, all funny. Around just, like, really, really cool people. And so...
Oh, that's nice. Thank
you. You're welcome. Yeah, Sasha, I think we're all going to say goodbye. So, yeah. All right. Bye, guys. Bye-bye. Thanks for tuning in.
Thanks for listening.
Bye, guys.